wouldn't mind coming forward, and then I will let you speak so they don't have to hear me. And here is a microphone. It's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. So we are glad to be here after... We are going here. Is it working? Can you hear me well? Otherwise, the room is big enough to just talk with a little bit. Yeah. So we are glad to be back here after a while. I was kind of thinking, how did we get in touch with the church? But it's about 15 years ago that Betsy was in Europe, and we were in a team and went to different places all over Europe with a couple of vans in different countries in Central Europe and the Balkan. And ever since, we have been in touch with the church. Every time we came to the U.S., we have been here speaking at the church. So we're glad to be here. And, you know, one of the things is to keep our time right, our timing right, especially on a Sunday morning, that we don't go over the time that is allotted for the preaching. I was kind of looking if the clock was working over there. But I see that you still have it on the time that we initially contacted the church this summer. We were in New York State this summer, and we thought, well, you know, actually, Westfield is so close to New York State, maybe we could also do Westfield on this trip. So we contacted the church, but it was too short notice. And then we said, well, we have to be at our headquarters in Philadelphia in the fall, and in November, December. And they said, you know, why don't you come in November, December? So that's why we're here right now. We are Nora and Peter Kalkman. We were commissioned 23 years ago with International Ministries to work for International Ministries with the European Baptist Federation. The European Baptist Federation is more than 50 Baptist conventions in more than 40 countries all over Europe. That's why when Betsy's team came, we went to all those different places that we kind of work with. Our task is to do the coordination of volunteers and short-term mission. So anytime someone in the church here would put an application with International Ministries for volunteer work, and it has Europe in the application as a region, it gets to our desk, and we need to make sure that those skills are used and matched with the skills that are needed in different places in Europe. So the good thing is that it gives us a front row seat of what God is doing in Europe. Because anytime we go to a country, we go to the leaders that are leaders of the Baptist conventions in those countries, we are saying, what is God doing in this place? And then they show us the things that they are involved in. And then it's our task to match them with the skills of the volunteers that sign up for volunteer work in Europe. So it's a big blessing for us to do that work and to be there. So let me ask Nora to share a little bit. We'll share the time both.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here with you this morning and to see you again in person after so many years, and also to say thank you for the support that you have given to our ministry for so many years and for helping to keep us in the mission field. Thank you. We are very thankful to God for you, for this church. I'm going to make a little bit of a story for the ones that is the first time that they get to know us. I was born in Mexico. Peter was born in the Netherlands. Our daughter was born in Germany. We serve in the Czech Republic, and we are missionaries to the European Baptist Federation. So we are kind of an international family. When God called me to ministry when I was 17 years old, but it was something that I didn't want it for my life. But after fighting with that call for many years, finally I said yes to God. And then I went to seminary. I went in California. I got a master in divinity. During that time, I was praying for a husband. And it was until the last semester when I met Peter. But I already have an application to go to the mission field to Latin America. And he wanted to go to the mission field to Africa. And we said, well, you know, I really, you know, I really have this application with international ministries to go to Latin America. But he said, Nora, but I already have been in Africa. I direct some of my students for Africa. And we decide, well, we're going to marry and we're going to update the application. Then international ministries call us and they say, we have the right match for you. And we were wondering, which country from all these two big continents that we gave them? And they say, the Czech Republic in Europe. I heard thinking, okay, we need some time, we need to pray about it, we need to see if God is directing us there. And after praying and then being there and see that only 2.5% are evangelical Christians in Europe, we see Europe as a priority mission field. We are blessed to work with the European Baptist Federation so that we have all these 50 Baptist conventions and we are all this doing all this traveling. But because we are in Prague, we do things more local. And one of the things that God surprised me was to reach out to university students through language. And do not worry, I'm not teaching English, I'm teaching Spanish. but for me, it is like, wow, I will never imagine that God will use Spanish, you know, to reach out to university students in the Czech Republic. And when I was invited, I said, well, you know, I cannot really teach here because I'm too busy. We have all the ministry that we are doing. And so I said, once a week, I'm gonna teach. The problem is that I enjoy teaching. So I was really like a teaching. I was, you know, very much involved with my students. And then the director, he said that he will go to Macedonia to do church planting. So there was nobody who was directing this outreach. So I said, okay, I'm going to do it for 6 months, only until we have a new person. Because by that time, we already have 120 students that we have contact with. And I was thinking, we cannot leave these contacts. We need to continue. So those 6 months, that was already 10 years ago, that I was thinking we were going to be only 6 months, so it had been 10 years. And it had been a privilege. For me, well, one of the things is that I didn't know that it will be that much of a work, because to be the director, it sounds very nice, but impractical, you know. I'm the one who is cleaning, doing the website, doing the posters, flyers, interviewing teachers, doing all the events plus the Spanish teacher. But I think one of my biggest joy, it is when we have small classes so that we can talk with them, build relationships. The Czech Republic, atheism is very high, more than 70%. So for many of them, they don't have any background in Christianity, and we cannot tell them, we cannot do evangelism in the traditional way. First, we need to get to know them, to make them, to build relationships, and then to share about the gospel. So that is why we do the language lessons. But because we have small classes, so I get to know the students. We invited them to our house. And then when they have a problem, I ask them if I can pray for them. Because we already established a relationship, they say yes. And when I pray for them, they are very surprised. Nobody had ever prayed for them. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine a life with people is not praying for you? For us, it's almost impossible to think that. And the more that I see this and the impact that it had prayer on them, some of them ask me, can you write down the prayer? I want to learn it. Well, they didn't say prayer. Can you write down that you say, because I want to learn it by memory. And after to pray for them, that opened doors to start to talk about spiritual things. And I also have Bible classes then when I invite them to come to the Bible classes. But when I see this, that they don't have people that pray for them, the more thankful that I am for you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for keeping us before the throne of God, because there are many doors that they are closed in the mission field. And sometimes I see doors are closing, and suddenly God makes a way. And then we receive an email from a church saying, we have been praying for you, on a birthday card that arrived 3-4 months later. And then they say, we have been praying for you. So we are very thankful for your prayers. And please keep us in your prayers. When Russia invaded Ukraine, we have a lot of refugees that they were coming to Prague and the Czech Republic in general. We have the Czech Republic received 400,000 refugees, and in the beginning we were in the train station. We were receiving them with food for them, for the children, for their babies, for their dogs. And many were coming with dogs and cats. The majority were women and children, because men from 18 to 60 years old were not allowed to leave the country. And so we were there, but there were so many that they were coming that the government said, you cannot do it anymore as a church. It's the city who's going to take over and to do this. So the city was having their volunteers. So I started to work with the city and receiving the refugees. One of the hardest things was that when this happened, we couldn't receive donations. The donations needed to go to the city. The city needed to send it to the firefighters, and then they will give it to us. But sometimes we had trains with a lot of refugees, and we didn't have enough food, and we couldn't go to the supermarkets to get it, because we needed to follow all the rules. It had to be, you know, the system, and because all the laws that they were with the implication. But that gave an opportunity to first to be asking to God, you know, please help me, because for me, I was getting very frustrated and sad. I remember one time this old man came and he was missing some tooth, and he asked me if I have bread, and I said, I don't have bread. And then a young boy, maybe 8 years old, with a big glasses, and he asked me, do you have a sandwich? And I said, I don't have a sandwich. So I will arrive home, and in the night, I will just be thinking about them, and I will be crying, because I was thinking, I can't just live here and go and run to the supermarket, but, you know, we needed to follow all these rules. When one of the colleagues from International Ministries told me, you know, Nora, when we need to follow, there are many rules that non-profit organizations and mission organizations need to follow certain rules. And these are moral wounds. And just to have a name for that, I started to heal my heart. And I was able also to minister to the other volunteers that they were the ones from the city that they were not Christians. Ukraine, we are like 10 hours from Ukraine. Prague to the border with Ukraine, we are like 10 hours. We have a lot of people from Ukraine even before the war started. So we have members in our church that are from Ukraine. We have friends that are from Ukraine. And when the war started, then we have a lot of refugees. But the Ukrainian Baptist Convention is one of the biggest ones in Europe. And well, there are many reasons for that, but one reason is that they have the official religion is Orthodox, and they have two kinds of Orthodox, and they can, you know, so they have the Ukrainian and the Russian Orthodox, and they are kind of, you know, they have some issues between, so they don't care so much about the Baptists. So then the Baptists are thriving, you know, and they are growing. They have 2,300 churches before the war started. And right now they have around 2,000 churches, because many of the churches, more than 200 churches, have been in occupied territory or they have been destroyed. Their headquarters were in Irpin. Irpin is under Bucha, and where you have the capital Kyiv, then you have Bucha, and then you have Irpin. And you might remember Bucha last year was in the news because when the troops retreat, the Russian troops retreat from there, there were a lot of bodies on the streets. So that is Bucha. So Irpin was where it was like the headquarters of the Baptists, where was the seminary. The seminary was destroyed. The offices needed to move. And the general secretary, his name is Igor Bandura, and he needed to move near to the border with Poland. And when the war just started, we asked to Igor, "Igor, when you close your eyes, what you see?" And Igor said three things. "When I close my eyes, I see my wife. When I close my eyes, I see my house. When I close my eyes, I see the churches that are rising again and serving Christ." And in his mercy, God allowed Igor to have those three desires. He was, when the troops retreated from Irpin, he was able to return. His wife was with her family, so they returned. They are together. They have a grandchild now, and they are so happy to be grandparents. I guess that people who is grandparents can say that this is a joy to be a grandparent. So they are very happy to be grandparents. And their house only have two windows broken. The house from the right was destroyed, and the house from the left was destroyed. But their house only had two windows broken, one by bullets, and the other they broke the window to get inside and to steal things from inside. But we praise God because that is what was the desire of Igor. That is what he needed. That was the motivation that he needed to continue and go on. It was a very difficult time for him because, you know, to coordinate all these churches, to receive which one are in occupied territory, which one need help. He was the face to the West because he was speaking, he speak English. And so he was, it was sometimes even hard to sleep for him because all the things that he needed to coordinate it. But God knew it that he needed that. And that is something that fill my heart to know that God knows us and he knows what we need in the right moment. When God is telling to Moses to take his people out of Egypt, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. I have seen, I have heard, I am concerned." And God have seen us. God have heard us, and God is concerned. God is concerned about not only our present and our actual situation, but God is concerned about our past. The things that we are carrying, maybe some wounds in our childhood when we were teenagers, things, some wounds that sometimes in our heart we want to put just a tape and forget about it, but we are carrying those things, and God is concerned about that. He wants to heal us. God is concerned about our present, and God is concerned about our future. As we are visiting churches in this year that we are in deputation, we have seen a lot of pain too. We have seen people who is diagnosed with cancer, people who have lost their spouses, a couple that we know for many years, their daughter was diagnosed bipolar. And we have seen all this suffering that churches are carrying. I don't know what is your right now, what is your present situation? I don't know what will, if I say close your eyes and what do you see? I don't know what are the desires and the motivations that you need at this moment, but I know that God knows and he's concerned. He is concerned about you. He cares. He cares about you. And the third desire of Igor was the churches, that the churches rise again and serve Christ. But we were thinking the churches are empty. 50% of the congregation had been displaced internally or outside the country. The majority, like Poland, received more than 4 million refugees. But the churches are not empty. During winter, God gave a vision for them to make campaigns. They call it these campaigns Houses of Heat and Hope. During winter, and when I say winter, you know what is winter. You know, we are saying, our station is in California, and we say winter, they think that they are in winter. But you know what is snow, you know what is, you know, you know what is to be without heater or without electricity during the winter. I mean, that is almost impossible to survive without heater or of electricity. But during winter, the electricity plants were bombed by the Russian, and many parts of the population in Ukraine, they didn't have electricity, they didn't have a heater. So with the help that the churches were receiving from the churches in the States, from the Baptist World Alliance, all the help was directly to the churches, or the churches that are in neighboring countries that they were receiving refugees. For example, Belarus or Moldova, that there are some countries that they are receiving refugees, but it's very hard, their situation to, I mean, for them, it's a country that they need the help. And so through the help that the churches were receiving, many of them, they were able to have generators in the church. So they will have electricity, they will have heater, and they started to reach out to the community. And they say, come, you know, you can get to be warm. That is what I call the campaigns, Houses of Heat and Hope. Come, be warm for a little while. We're going to have like a warm soup. You can charge your cell phones, you know. We cannot live anymore without cell phones. Say, come, charge your cell phone. And at the same time, they were hearing about the hope that we can only find in Christ. In 6 months, in the churches, there were 20,000 new people and 3,000 baptisms. For me, what it amazed me, it is that the churches are in pain and suffering. They have a loss of family, houses, to the sense of not being safe around, you know, to all these things that they are grieving, they are mixing feelings without understanding what is happening. And in the middle of that, God gave them this vision to do these campaigns, and they were obedient, and God blessed the efforts that they made. During the summer, they had been a record in the history of the Baptist Convention of Ukraine of baptisms. God is doing things in the middle of pain and suffering. When I think about Houses of Heat and Hope, I also think about our churches. Our church can be a house of heat and hope. And also our families. Each one of our families can be a house of heat and hope. How many people is that are feeling lonely, that they need just a phone call? How many people are there without hope, that they need to know that they have been made in the image of our Lord? But also, as individuals, wherever that we go, wherever God put us, in society, in our neighborhood, the school, job, in any place that God put us, we can be a source of heat and hope. May our God help us to be that source.
Yeah. So, before I forget, we also brought some materials that you can take if you still have our old prayer card with, that we still had black hair. Here is one with gray hair. It's an update, so that you can pray for us. You just cut out a picture, put it on your refrigerator, and it also has our ministry description up there. So what we do in Europe, it says it here. And then our daughter is very creative, and she made a bookmark. So if you still have a real Bible instead of a phone Bible, you can use the bookmark and pray for us when you see it in your Bible. Also, you can sign up for our information about two or three times a year. We send some information or a video link or something else, and then you kind of keep a little bit on track with what we are doing. The last thing we did was a video link just before we left about the reaching out to the refugees in the Ukraine. And if you sign up, we can still send that link to you too. So the last time that we were in overseas, I don't need to tell anyone the secret that there was like a big thing happening all over the world called pandemic. And of course, we had that too in Prague. And in Prague, they closed the doors and they closed everything pretty instantly. So as soon as the first cases were there, they closed the borders. You couldn't go in and out of the country anymore. They had a curfew. Even before the end of May, people had to wear masks everywhere. And of course, there were no masks because nobody ever asked for masks. So why would you be able to buy masks anywhere? But in 3 days, they had 10 million masks because everybody was making them at home. And the thing that you couldn't buy in the stores anymore were sewing machines because people were also so diligent in those things. And you could put them free of charge in the mail, so without postage. Some people put them on their fences, and people that walk by, they could have them. We got a couple of them from our neighbors that made them. So they were very, very instant in responding. And of course, like in many countries, they didn't know how to finish the thing, and that was like another problem. But they were fast in responding. And so fast, in fact, that there were only about 400 deaths in the entire Czech Republic in the first half year, whereas in other countries there were thousands or tens of thousands or sometimes even in the millions of people that died. But in the Czech Republic, the hospitals were empty. So they got people from the neighboring countries in there. And our church, they opened a couple of Zoom accounts for Bible study groups. And they also had the YouTube for the Sunday service, but they did that already before. So they just upgraded the way they did it. And they had every Sunday the service on the YouTube. And then the Bible studies, they were on Zoom. And also for Nora, when she was doing her language outreach, it also went on Zoom. And in that way, we kind of kept going with the ministry. Like our ministry, about 50% of it is traveling through all of Europe, but the other 50%, we are very active in the church in Prague. And we both do different Bible studies. And normally for the Bible study, you know, the evening before, you kind of read the chapter and you're prepared for the next day. But now, instead of just the evening before, we had a few days to prepare for the Bible studies because, you know, it was the only thing you did. And that, for me, that was a very rich, enriching time, to have so much time with the Word of God instead of having all kind of other things distracting every day with the things that you do for life. But to really meditate on the Word of God and to reflect on the Word of God and really prepare well for the Bible study. And there are three things that I'd like to... There are many things that I could mention, but the time allows me only for three things probably. So let me mention three things. And... one of the things that I always thought, you know, from that I grew up, is that the Bible is about going to heaven. But what I kind of came to realize is the Bible is more about a taste of heaven than it is about a ticket to heaven. And I think the Lord Jesus makes that kind of very clear in the Lord's Prayer. And we prayed it all together at the beginning of the service when he says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This means God's will is being done in heaven. That's what Jesus says in his prayer. But it also means that if we do God's will here on earth, there's a little taste of heaven on earth. Now, another thing that became important to me is to see Jesus with two eyes. One eye, the way he is described in the Gospels, in Scripture, or the way he is maybe painted in the children's Bibles with all the pictures there. There is hardly any church where we preach, so there is not a picture of Jesus, for example. We see Jesus, in Gethsemane on the picture there. Everywhere we go. Sometimes they even have a sculpture of Jesus, or they have the risen Jesus. I don't know if there is the risen Jesus behind here, but everywhere we go, there's pictures of Jesus. And we have the stories of Jesus through the Gospels. And I say that is with one eye, how he lived on earth. The other eye is to see what he stands for, what he represents. For example, when Jesus says, "I am the truth, the way, and the life," then Jesus says, "I am the truth." It means that we say we love Jesus, we need to love the truth. You cannot separate those two things. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We say God is love, or God is righteousness. We cannot separate those things. If we love God, if we love Jesus, we need to love those things that they represent or that they stand for. Now, and third thing that became important to me, and I kind of try to remember by 1, 2, 3. I remember first time I wanted to share this with a friend, and I couldn't remember the third thing. I think, how was it? So now I kind of say the first thing, unification, heaven and earth. Second thing, the two eyes. The third thing, Trinity. Now, I believe 100% in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But I think if we read the Bible carefully, there is also a presence of God in his children, an incorporation of the Godhead in his church. Now, we find this very clearly mentioned when Paul goes on his way to Damascus, and right before he reaches Damascus, he meets Jesus. He falls from his horse, and Jesus doesn't say, "Paul, why are you persecuting those people in Damascus?" No, he says, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And we see a lot of places in Scripture where God wants to identify with his children. For example, John 15, where it says that we need to be in him and he will be in us. For example, if we are in him, we will bear fruit. It doesn't say we have to bear fruit. It says we will bear fruit if we are in him. And there are many places in Scripture that we see that. And not only 2,000 years ago in the Gospel, but even if we go 3,500 years ago, and we go to the story with Moses in Exodus 25, we see that God asked them to make a tabernacle. And here, I'll just read it from Scripture here. There it says, "God said to Moses at Mount Sinai, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land, I'm reading in Leviticus here. Let me go one chapter off. I think there's something. Here we go. The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from anyone whose heart prompts them to give.'" So it's about a donation motivated by the heart. You know, when they had to build the golden calf, they were obliged to give, or they were, but here it's the motivation of the heart. And then the next verses, you see a whole list of things that the people are donating. They are donating the gold, the precious gold or precious wood, precious materials, precious stones, all the things that they are donating for this endeavor. And then in verse 8 it says, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me." The tabernacle. Now, you would expect that after that it says, "so that I may live in it." But it doesn't say that. In English, it has 6 words. It says, "so that I may dwell among them." But in Hebrew, it has only 2 words. And in Hebrew, it says, "V'shichanti betuchem." Now, if you know a little bit Hebrew, whenever it says a "b" in the beginning, it means inside. Whoever knows Hebrew, the first thing you would think of before you start to think, how would I translate that, is it says, "so that I may live in them." Betuchem, in them. Who are those them? The people who were motivated from the heart to contribute to God's cause. And so it is with any church. If you're motivated from the heart to contribute to God's cause, God says, so that I may live in them, may be visible through them. When you go out in the neighborhood, you go to the store, you go to your work, you go to school, you go to whatever you do, that God is in you, represented in you, reflected through you, and that he says, so that I may live in them. If you brought things for the meal, you brought that motivated by the heart to contribute to God's cause today. And then it says, so that I may live in them. Now, this is not only 3,500 years ago. It's not only in the gospel. But even if you go to Paul's letters in Ephesians 2, verse 22, again, very easy to remember, 3 times 2, if you want to read it at home. Ephesians 2, verse 22, there it says, I'm going to reading from scripture here. There, start in verse 21. In him, they mean in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So that's God's vision for us as a church, to be a dwelling in us, among us, through us. When we go into our neighborhoods, that we bring the presence of God in those neighborhoods. Bring the presence of God. We just talked about the concept. Bring the truth of God in those neighborhoods. Bring the peace of God in those neighborhoods. Bring the righteousness of God in those neighborhoods, and so forth. All the things that God stands for. And we can't read the whole Bible about those places where heaven touches earth and where we have a touch of heaven on earth that we carry with us when we go into those places with Jesus in our hearts. I'd like to finish here also because of the time, but I thought we had 40 minutes, so let me do 2 or 3 more minutes if that's fine. You know, we work with the European Baptist Federation, and the European Baptist Federation was started in 1948 to bring reconciliation between the warring parties in Europe. So they started a seminary in Switzerland where the people from Germany and from France and from England and so could get together and study together. Students studied together with the reconciliation because of our Prince of Peace. And they have been doing that ever since, even until today. When we went to Prague in the year 2000, just the Balkan wars were just over. And we had students at the seminary from Kosovo and from Serbia. And they went together to churches and talked about the reconciliation that we find in Jesus and the Prince of Peace that Jesus is. And then right now with the Ukrainian wars that started in 2014, it didn't start last year, February. It started in 2014 when Russia went into the eastern states there. And the European Baptist Federation wanted to draw attention to that we pray for that and that we are aware of that. So we had our annual council, which is every year somewhere else, in Lviv on the west side of the Ukraine. And then it was supposed to be the next year in St. Petersburg, so that we also think about our Russian brothers and sisters. Because, you know, we think a lot about the Ukraine, and maybe we pray every day for the Ukraine, but our Russian brothers and sisters, they are in isolation. If they say something against the war, the government will come and close their church. So, and they have closed and burned a lot of churches in occupied territories, because they think Baptist is influenced from the West. But anyway, but then it didn't happen because the COVID came. So it was canceled in St. Petersburg that year. then right now, just about a month ago, we have a monthly prayer meeting together with all our partners in the European Baptist Federation that we get on Zoom. It started, actually, it was the weeks before Lent that we were in a Zoom prayer meeting together every week before Lent in 2002. But then the war started in the Ukraine, so we kept doing it every month. Last Wednesday of the month, we pray for the Ukraine all together on Zoom. Sometimes more than 100 people from the different countries. And when the war started in Palestine and Israel, we prayed for that. We had several representatives from the Palestinian churches in Israel. Now, in 2011, we had our annual council in Palestine because the Palestinian Christians were celebrating their 100-year anniversary. Now, you wouldn't probably realize that, but a lot of the Christian churches in Israel are Palestinian churches. When we came to when I preached in Detroit one time, one of the elders took me to a museum in Detroit, which was the Arab Museum in Detroit. And they in the 19th century, the 1800s, when all the Italians came to the U.S. and when all the Polish people came to the U.S. and all those people came to the U.S. from everywhere in Europe, some people came from Palestine to the U.S. And a lot of them settled in Michigan. And they have a whole museum that shows all that history. But some of them went back. They became Christians in the U.S. They went back, talked about Christ to their people, and they had their first baptism in 1911, which is way longer before the whole state of Israel existed. They already had Palestinian Baptist churches there. So when we were praying for them, we had several of those pastors do the conversation and talk about how they were reaching out and how they were trying to bring the reconciliation that we find through Christ in the situation. For example, we were on the Zoom with pastors from the occupied area in the West Bank and from Palestinian Christians in Nazareth. And they said they opened their doors for the Jewish displaced people from the Gaza border, because when the army came, all the people had to leave their houses in an area of about 5 miles. They had to go somewhere else. So they opened their houses for the people that were displaced within Israel. Now, it wasn't picked up on that because many people opened their houses, so it wasn't necessary. But at least they showed their intent in Christ to work on this reconciliation. So through the European Baptist Federation, and there are more stories, but I'm taking too much time right now. But it's one of the things that that we do all over Europe, that we really try to make the presence of Christ tangible in whatever way we can. And we thank you for making that possible for us. And we hope to be able to talk more and maybe answer questions or so when we have our meal afterward, our fellowship meal. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. All right, before we close out today's service with one final song, let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the Kaufmans. We thank you so much for their witness as to what's going on in the world. It can be so easy for us sometimes to remember, okay, things are happening here. But the truth is, you are the God of all things. You are the God not only of us here in Westfield, but also the God of those in the Czech Republic, those in Ukraine, those in Palestine, those in Israel. You are the God of this entire cosmos, Lord. And as Nora said, you have cared about us, you love us, you cherish us. And it's shown in the way that you have provided for your people, even in the midst of so much sorrow, and so much pain, and so much hardship. No matter what, you have shown that you are the living hope, which we so desire, which we so need. So Lord, as we continue forward, let us remember these stories. Let us remember our brothers and sisters of the faith all the way across the sea. And Lord, let us continue to keep them in prayers and continue to support them as we may. And let them, as well as we, Lord, glorify you above all, because you are worthy. We thank you so much for what you have accomplished. We thank you so much because we believe you will accomplish so much more. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please rise as we sing our final hymn.